Set sail with Newt Gingrich. Get aboard the elegant Crystal Symphony for a spectacular 7-day cruise from New York to Montreal. At the same time, enjoy stimulating seminars on politics and investment. Our guests include Newt Gingrich, Mark Skousen, John Ransom, and Chris Versace. And everything's included. We set sail September 13th through the 20th. Join us for the Politics and Your Portfolio cruise. Log on to politicsandyourportfolio.com for all the details. Politics and Your Portfolio.
Geico Motorcycle presents Reflections from the Road.
The day I knew I was a real biker was when I switched to Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Because real bikers, well, they know where the savings are. And you know what else makes you a real biker? A sweet tattoo. Check mine out. Just got it yesterday. It says Heal on Wheels. Wait, Heal on Wheels? Oh, man. Well, at least I got the saving money with Geico part, right?
Geico Motorcycle Insurance. See how much you could save.
If you've got questions, we've got answers. 660 AM. The Answer.
America's liberty is under assault, and women are rising to the defense. It's time for Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM, The Answer. Common sense talk with women and men about politics and standing up for America. With your host, nationally acclaimed speaker and author, Debbie Georgiadis. Ladies Can We Talk starts now.
Hey there. Welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. This is Debbie Georgiadis. I'm so glad you've tuned in. And this is our second hour on Ladies Can We Talk. So my leading ladies have joined me tonight. They actually joined me a little early. Carrie Kellum and Lori Medina are here. And we have online Texas State Senator Connie Burton, who's just finished her first term in the Texas State representing SD10. Hi, Connie.
Hey, Debbie, how are you?
Very well. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
I was remembering driving out here that when this show used to be on at the early hour of 7 a.m. on Sunday mornings, you called in one morning when you were just running for Senate. Isn't that right?
Yes, I sure did.
hope we were both awake. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yes. Happy that you did. And also happy Father's Day to your family. Now you have a lovely family. Hope you're having a great day at your house.
Thank you. We are. We're having a very nice, relaxing day. Well, I should say relaxing. I did have my husband do a few honeydews for me today. But I don't know that that's the right thing to do on Father's Day, but he was more than happy to do it for me. So.
I'm sure he was. Happy to be part of your having a great little family you have. Okay, so I'm going to jump in about the Senate and just ask you, because I know you. This was your first term, and you were certainly considered in the campaign just one of the shining lights of the conservative movement. So you had your first session under your belt in the Texas State Senate. So what were your highlights and lowlights? Can you kind of run through some of your highs and lows of the this past session?
Well, yeah, let me think a minute about that. You know, obviously, well, first of all, I was a grassroots conservative activist, as you know, for many years before being elected into the Senate. So a lot of it I was familiar with just because I've been going down to the State House for several sessions, you know, talking to legislators, trying to get them to pass conservative legislation and not pass that wasn't. So a lot of it was familiar to me. I do have to say there, you know, certainly, though, is a learning curve on things. One of the something that was, and I guess I should have known, I just had never thought about because obviously I wasn't going down there as a legislator before. But, you know, when you're going in, you know, we came off of an 18-month campaign, went straight to getting an office open down in Austin, hiring staff, you know. So we only had a few weeks between our campaign and being a state senator. So, the others that have the interim previous to that are way ahead of you in terms of having, you know, their bills ready to go. They vetted them. They've done all sorts of, you know, meetings and things like that to get their bills ready to go. Something that you're at a disadvantage when you're, you know, just going in is you haven't had that opportunity to do that. So and you know, that was somewhat surprising to me, even though it shouldn't be if you sit and think about it for a minute. But like I said, I just hadn't thought about that. And so now we had plenty of bills in mind. We got a lot of bills filed and, you know, got some things to move, and it didn't hinder us too much. But it's just interesting. You realize what an advantage I'm going to be at the next session, because I'm over the interim. We're going to be doing what the others had done, getting bills ready, getting them vetted,
getting the support necessary so that they're ready to go for committees.
Yeah, there is a lot of work that goes on between each session. I mean, the Texas legislature formally meets for 6 months or so every 2 years, but there's a lot of work between sessions, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, like while I knew that, I didn't realize it was so much. I just didn't take the time to think about how much work goes into getting the bills ready during that interim. You know, there's just a lot of research that needs to be done, different groups that need to be talked to. You want to take into account everybody's perspective and point of view. You know good and well that laws are full of unintended consequences, and that's when you really learn about it is during the committee process and prior to that, right? So you've got an idea or, you know, something that a legislative agenda, and you put forth an idea, and all of a sudden somebody else comes forward and says, well, it's going to affect us this way. So you work to, you know, you don't want to infringe on anybody else's rights. You want to, you know, you want to push policy forward that will be beneficial to everyone and not have unintended consequences. So, yes, there's a lot of work that's done in committees and previous to that during the interim.
Hey, Connie, this is Lori Medina. How are you, girlfriend?
Hey, Lori, how are you?
Oh, I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. Hey, listen,
you.
I know that one of your big pushes when you were down there was making sure that our municipalities cannot lobby against us citizens. And
right.
So why don't you tell our listeners about that effort and kind of the results of all that.
Yes, I'd be happy to. Thank you for mentioning that. That was something that I had learned about, again, as an activist, is that taxing entities, municipalities, school districts, the larger taxing entities as well can hire lobbyists, or not can, but they do. They hire lobbyists to go down to Austin to lobby. So they are spending our taxpayer dollars to send lobbyists to go down there to, and I got to tell you, what they lobby for is bigger government much of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So those of us that are against larger, more government are actually having our tax dollars used against us down in Austin. And that was something that I had learned about, again, as an activist, and it was just so aggravating to me. And so was together with our staff down in Austin, and my chief of staff actually was the one that reminded me about that. And I said, oh, my gosh, yes, what can we do about this? We talked about legislation, which we did get together with a representative in the House to push forth legislation. But before that, we decided to not even allow taxpayer-funded lobbyists into our office. And what we did is we created a liaison within our office who would actually be very proactive and contact the different municipalities, school districts, all the taxing entities, and say, hey, you know, we want to talk to you directly. Don't be sending down a lobbyist to talk to us. We want to talk to you directly. This is the contact in our office, you know, that kind of thing. So it's not like we made it hard to talk to these entities. And it was quite incredible, the response we got from Austin lobby circles and the Austin media. My goodness, you'd have thought we just threw a bomb out. It was incredible. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, she's not allowing taxpayer-funded lobbyists in her office. And yet when I talk to the people in the district and throughout the state, they're like, first of all, they don't know about it. They don't know that it exists, and they're very aggravated when they hear about it, that their tax dollars are being used to pay lobbyists to much of the time lobby a policy that that the taxpayer is ultimately against. So, first of all, they're surprised about it, and then second of all, they're like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much. But, again, you know, the lobby circle and the media down in Austin just, you know, were horrified that we would do such a thing.
Connie, I want to make sure our listeners are following this, because I'm honestly, I was not tuned into this issue until very recently. You're saying essentially, and they're just picking a hypothetical, you're saying we as citizens, my husband, I live in Dallas County, the city of Dallas, we pay our tax dollars, and the city of Dallas could hire lobbyists using the tax dollars we pay them to go down to Austin to lobby Austin for bigger government against the wishes, which would be, of course, against our wishes. That's exactly
yes. That's exactly it.
Okay.
And trust me, City of Dallas is spending quite a bit. You know, one of the things that I would like to see, and I mentioned this at a couple of places that I've been recently, is, you know, the more that, you know, I will certainly continue to work in Austin against this, but the more that we can get grassroots activists, just the regular people calling into their school districts, their municipalities, their county, that's what I couldn't remember earlier, even the county level governments, you know, calling them, finding out, do you pay a lobbyist, you know, expressing your frustration and the fact that you don't want your money used that way, that all helps, right? You know, from the bottom up, and then me working in Austin. But it's something that we absolutely have to stop. It was Representative Matt Shaheen is the one in the House who put forth legislation, and we were sponsoring it in the Senate. He is also against this. And, of course, this legislation didn't go anywhere, but we will continue to work on it and push for it again next session.
Love it.
Great. Connie, it's Carrie Kellerman. You did touch on this briefly. What I wanted to know as a fellow activist, and lots of them listening to us now, other than calling at the municipal level, is there anything else you can give our listeners to do to help fight this?
Yeah, thanks, Carrie. I'm glad you're here, too. You know, it's really that. It really is that. One of the victories that we had, we heard about, is that when this was going on, again, it was quite the hubbub down in Austin. So a lot of the lobbyists that work for profits, you know, will also do some work for these taxing entities. So, you know, that's why you hear a lot of frustration from the lobbyists down there, because they'll have clients that are also municipalities and that kind of thing. So we did hear that one lobbyist down there lost, apparently, I believe it was the city of Galveston, I believe. Hmm. It was some grassroots, I think it was maybe a Tea Party group had heard about, you know, via us not wanting to have these lobbyists in our office. They read about it. They started contacting their city. Their city got nervous about it. This is all third hand. This is my understanding that they decided to let go of their lobbyist because they were getting pushback from their citizens about it. So, you know, that's a story that we heard that, you know, I've not confirmed, but my understanding is that's what happened. And so, you know, I consider that a victory. And if more people were aware of it, more people called about it, I think, I really think that's the approach we have to take, as well as us in Austin pushing for this as well.
Okay. You know, I'm so glad you shared all that with us. This is Debbie Georgette, and ladies, can we talk? We're speaking with State Senator Connie Burton, representing SD10. And as happens every single time we have a sparkling, wonderful person on to be interviewed, we come up against a break, and we are against the time of break again. But I want to, I'm sure, on behalf of all three of us here, and you're also your voters, thank you, Connie Burton, for your service to Texas and to SD10. You are just a stalwart and yet cheerful fighter.
Thank you, Connie. So
thank you for all that you do.
We're so proud of you.
Yeah. Thank you, ladies. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of y'all. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to be on the be with you all fighting the good fight. I'll
Amen,
tell you that.
Sister.
Thank you so much. And we're going to zip off to our break. And after our break, we'll have on a state representative, Stephanie Click, talking about her second term in the Texas State House. This is Debbie Georgiadis and Carrie Kellerman, Lori Medina. Ladies, can we talk? Come back after our break.
660 AM, The Answer. Dennis Prager believes our emphasis on politics is way off.
The preoccupation with the politics and the running for presidency a year and a half prior to elections, this is not a healthy trend.
There is more to life than politics.
To have the news cycle dominated by the presidential campaign of November 2016, it's a poorer life.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM, The Answer.
Here's a quick way
to figure out whether someone loves American-style liberty or not. Ask about American exceptionalism, because I'll tell you what American exceptionalism is based on. It's about the idea in the Declaration of Independence that all men and women are created equal, that we have rights from our Creator to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's about a constitution that both limits and defines government's power. It's about the freedoms guaranteed in the Bill of Rights. It's about the values that emerged from the Declaration and Constitution. It's about limited government. It's about morality based in the Bible's teachings. It's about rights of the individual, not the group. It's about self-reliance and opportunity. It's about family structure. It's about free markets, not collectivism. It's about the rule of law. It's about predictable and limited taxes and regulations. It's about optimism, the can-do spirit, the sense we can go as far up as our dreams, efforts, and abilities take us. That is what American exceptionalism is all about.
According to Forbes magazine, Saudi Arabia's Prince Al-Waleed, with over $21 billion, is the 35th richest person in the world. Being a Saudi prince, you just naturally assume he inherited his money, which I'm sure is partly true. However, he made a lot of his money by investing in banking and financial services, hotels and hotel management companies, mass media, entertainment, retail, agriculture, petrochemicals, aviation technology, and real estate all over the world. He's making money off about anything people buy anywhere. You may not be a Saudi prince, but you can make money on about anything people buy almost anywhere by getting your free blue card. The Blue Card is a loyalty rewards card that not only gets you discounts on purchases, but up to 5% cash back on what you buy. If you refer someone to the Blue Card, you could earn money on what they buy. And if you refer the Blue Card to a business, you could earn on the purchases of anyone who uses the Blue Card in their store or almost anywhere.
To get your free Blue Card, go to BlueCardShopping.com. That's BlueCardShopping.com. BlueCardShopping.com.
Have you ever thought you'd like to buy and sell houses but didn't know how or where to begin? Do you fear your job is in jeopardy, or is your business income reduction keeping you awake at night? We're in the best time in 25 years to make a fortune in real estate without using your money or credit. My name is Ron LeGrand, and I've taught 500,000 people to do just that and personally bought hundreds of houses myself. If you'll call 800-865-3959, I'll send the first 500 callers my hot new CD, Foreclosure Fortunes, and my best-selling book to help you get started absolutely free. I'll show you how to build a six-figure income part-time with no previous experience and no license, even if you're a busy professional. Call 800-865-3959 24 hours and get my new book and CD free. That's 800-865-3959. Take your life back and make this your best year ever. That's 800-865-3959. Call 800-865-3959 now.
Lumber Liquidators has one of the best selections of top quality hardwood floors, and now we've got them for less with deals in over 400 gorgeous styles, including some of our most popular floors like pre-finished gunstock oak. It's a best-selling hardwood, and now it's just 99 cents. Or get the look of acacia with our thickest and best European laminate. It's a customer favorite, and it's also 99 cents. Get pre-finished hardwood from 49 cents, plus pay no interest until September 2016 for the flooring styles you want at a price you deserve. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
660 AM The Answer. 660 AM TheAnswer.com.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM The Answer.
Hey there, so glad you've tuned in to Ladies Can We Talk. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and on Ladies Can We Talk, all issues are women's issues. And we are tonight doing a pretty good, more or less a little bit of a dive into the Texas legislative session that just ended, the 84th legislature. And we have just different people who serve in the legislature talking to us about how that what happened in that session. And one reason I said this earlier, I want to say it again. Texas is the liberty leader of America. What happens in the Texas legislature matters around the country. So we're going to talk. We have coming up right now, actually, we have on the line Texas State Representative Stephanie Click, representing District 91. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Great.
Okay, I have to tell you that I was getting ready for the show, and I was getting some data about you, and I saw that on Wikipedia, it said you're in your second session as a legislator, and I was so sure this was your first session, I was about to write an email to Wiki saying, hey, no, she's in her first session, but this was your second session you've served in the legislature, right?
That is correct.
Wowie. Okay. So, well, you're now one of the old hands, I guess. But I want to ask you, because these are short segments we have. And so I want to jump right in and ask you just about this most recent session. You know, how would you size it up? How would you say it went? What were you all excited about in this last legislative session?
There were some good bills that passed. I'm excited about our budget. It was reasonable, and it kept check of spending. Last session, many of us voted against the final budget. This session, I was very proud to vote for it.
Well, I love that. I love any conservative standing up for a budget. That's a good sign. And you actually, among the things, in fact, I think it was in a text that you sent me, there was a bill you were interested, or an issue you were especially following, about an oil being available for treatment of epilepsy. What was that about?
That's right. I filed legislation this session to legalize and extract the cannabis plant, which is a promising new treatment for intractable epilepsy. And the House and Senate approved it, and the governor signed it on June 1st.
So you actually brought a law that you felt really strong about, and it is a law in the great state of Texas now.
It is, and it is, you know, something that I believe will be giving families with children with these seizure disorders the opportunity for some treatment that they don't presently have. Many of these children have run out of options. During session, we had two children that died with intractable epilepsy. And hopefully next year that this new treatment will be available in Texas.
I'm glad to hear that. You know, I think I mentioned, if I didn't, Stephanie, we have in the second hour of this show, Ladies Can We Talk, I have two of my, I call them leading ladies. They're just my fellow political activists. Join me. It's Lori Medina. Tonight happens to be Lori Medina and Carrie Kellerman are here tonight. Hi, ladies.
Hey, hello. Stephanie. How
nice to have you here, hi. Stephanie.
You probably know all these people. It's really fun. The first hour, I do the show with sometimes a guest and just myself. In the second hour, we try to make it more of a conversational tone about America and about Texas. And, you know, I want to ask you, Stephanie, there was actually, I was pleased by a lot of things, especially it came out of the Texas Senate. It seemed like they were very strong on conservative issues this time. And yet I know some people in the conservative activist crowd are thinking more should have happened. Were there things that should have happened in this legislative session that didn't?
I believe so. I would have liked to have seen some ethics reform mm-hmm. that was meaningful and not unconstitutional advanced. Some more work on spending limits would have been great. Some more pro-life legislation. We passed a few pro-life bills, but would have liked to have seen a few more reforms.
Stephanie, if you wouldn't mind, would you talk to me about school choice? How do you feel about it, and what are your impressions, and what would you like to see done?
What happened, yeah.
Well, I think what you see in the legislature is a lot of rural Republicans oppose school choice because there are fewer choices in those rural districts, not as many private schools for people to go to. And you'll see Democrats in urban areas supportive of it, particularly if they're in an area with very poor schools that are underperforming. So you'll see a coalition of inner-city Democrats and Republicans. But Republicans in rural areas typically are not supportive of school choice.
Can you delve a little further into why?
They're typically in a more rural district or not private schools in which students could attend.
Well, if their choices are limited, why limit it for the rest of the state?
I would agree with you on that. I'm not saying that I agree with that perspective. I'm
right.
Explaining why you'll see some Republicans oppose that, and it's typically individuals from rural districts.
You know what it is? I bet they have no constituent pressure.
No constituent pressure, and they may also have higher performing schools, where there may not be as much of an interest in their particular district.
Hey, yeah. Stephanie, this is Lori Medina. Hey, you know, regarding the school choice thing, it seems like that Governor Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, they really talked about that and made it a big push, you know, pre-session, that was going to, you know, school choice was going to be one of their big ideas they were going to try to push through. And it seemed like once the whole pre-K thing came along, it kind of just sucked the air out of the room in any kind of education reform. Is that kind of how you see things, or do you have a different viewpoint of that?
I would agree. One of the things that I was shared with regarding the pre-K is that that could have potentially been used at a private school.
Right, right.
And, you know, people were happy about that, but after that, you know, a lot of the reforms, you know, we didn't hear any more bills on the horn regarding that.
Would you say then that if there were political capital to have been spent on a school or education issue, that it was sucked up by the pre-K issue and not the school choice issue?
Yes, I would very much agree.
We also had, though, the governor strongly behind the pre-K thing. I think he also spoke about school choice as a good thing, but his strong push was for pre-K. And I understood there was a push by the governor directly in the House to members of House and the Senate saying this is kind of one of my number one things. Is that right?
It was. That was one of his priorities. And I was one of the people that voted against that particular thing.
Thank you, Stephanie.
You go, girl.
Thank you. As a conservative activist, I'll tell you what, it was a big disappointment for me, and I was just very upset. But thank you so much, Stephanie, for standing up against the forces down there in Austin.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. You know, I actually wanted to ask, and it's amazing, Stephanie, I whine about this in my show all the time. Somehow there's something wrong with it. There's like a time warp in the studio because these segments go so fast. We're up against the time. We're supposed to go to a break. But I did see something interesting I didn't know if you'd seen. I actually saw it on Facebook, which was that Governor Abbott has vetoed 42 bills. I mean, you talk about the struggle getting to bills through the House and the Senate and finally getting to an agreeable format that both houses go with. Get to his desk, 42 bills vetoed. Do you find that surprising, or is that kind of the norm?
I'm not surprised. What is advisable, what I've learned in my second session, is if you're advancing an issue, it's probably a good idea to visit with the governor's staff to see where he is on that. It's very disappointing to put all the effort in marshaling legislation through the session and then have it vetoed. Unfortunately, none of the bills that I worked on this session were vetoed.
Well, good. Okay, we are, if you're just tuning in, this is Debbie Georges and Ladies Can We Talk, and we're speaking with State Representative Stephanie Click, who's in her second, just completed her second term in the Texas State House. Stephanie, thank you for your service to Republicans and to your district. And this, we're going to zip over to our break here, but after we come back, we're going to talk a little more about Texas and then a few national issues, including Donald Trump's announcement, Jeb Bush's announcement, and a few other burning issues. So this is Debbie Georges, Lori Medina, Carrie Kellerman, Ladies Can We Talk. Come back after the break, and thank you, Representative Click.
Thank you.
Hey, 3 hours a day is all I ask. Join me, Sean Hannity, from 2 to 5 each weekday, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Are you ready to experience Israel?
Every once in a while, an opportunity to do something truly special comes along. An opportunity for an unforgettable and timely expedition to the land of Israel. This year, be a part of the Stand With Israel Tour. Spend 9 days this fall in the fascinating and dramatic land of Israel with Mike Gallagher and Dennis Prager. Enjoy first-class accommodations and meals in comfort and safety. Visit 660amtheanswer.com for all the details and to register now. That's 660amtheanswer.com.
In high school, I ate dinner at a friend's house one night, and the mom asked me, "Where are your people from?" After volunteering the name of the street we lived on, and then the name of the states where my parents grew up, I finally realized she was talking about my family's ancestry. That story reminds me that America was founded on and only can thrive if, in identifying ourselves and others, we see higher and think better than race and ethnicity. We can only find unity around ideas like equal rights from our Creator, liberty, free markets, limited government, freedom of religion, hard work, and the self-reliant American spirit, and the caring for our neighbor, for which America is the model for the world. To move forward in America, we need to speak up against those who would divide us along gender, racial, or ethnic lines and unite around the only thing that can unite us, American ideals. This is Debbie Georgiatis, and ladies, can we talk?
Hey, everybody. Mark Davis, former friends at USMD Prostate Cancer Center. You know, cancer is challenging enough without having to head all over town for a test over here, a doctor's appointment over there, maybe something else across town some other direction. At USMD Prostate Cancer Center, you're going to one place. And there's one website, 888prostate.com, one phone number, 1-888-PROSTATE, and one team of doctors, specialists, patient navigators, all committed to making sure that prostate cancer is put behind you so that you can live a long and healthy life. USMD Prostate Cancer Center, the message begins with testing. Every guy needs to get tested, started with that 40th birthday, and after that, clean test, see you next year. If there's something in there, maybe it's so teeny tiny we look at it for a while. It's active surveillance. Maybe it's cryotherapy time, robotic surgery time. They do it all at USMD Prostate Cancer Center. Saving guys' lives, one guy at a time. So guys, let's go. 1-888-PROSTATE or 888PROSTATE.com. USMD Prostate Cancer Center. 1-888-PROSTATE or 888PROSTATE.com.
This plan is not insurance and does not meet minimum credible coverage requirements under the Affordable Care Act. This discount card program contains a 30-day cancellation and refund period. Administrator and benefits limited. Dallas, Texas, not available in all states.
You went to the dentist and he said you have to have a root canal and a crown. That's going to eat up almost $3,000. You could get it all for around $1,600. That's almost 50% less because you're a member of RealMedSavings.com. What is Real Med Savings? It's a membership like a discount club that lets you access huge networks of medical professionals for a whole lot less money. You save money because we've already negotiated the discounts. RealMedSavings.com costs less than a dollar a day for the whole family. But Real Med Savings is not just for dental. It's doctor's consultations, vision, prescription drugs, and more. There's no long-term commitment and no salesman is going to call. Cancel anytime. Save real money on healthcare you need and use for everyday medical problems. Real medical savings for your entire family. RealMedSavings.com.
Lumber Liquidators has one of the best selections of top quality hardwood floors, and now we've got them for less with deals in over 400 gorgeous styles, including some of our most popular floors like pre-finished gunstock oak. It's one of our best-selling hardwoods, and now it's just 99 cents. Or get stylish wide plank hardwood. This week, 3/4 inch solid hardwood is an incredible 32% less than other stores. Get pre-finished hardwood from 49 cents, plus pay no interest until September 2016. For the flooring styles you want at a price you deserve, visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
660 AM, The Answer.
660 AM, TheAnswer.com.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey there, welcome back. Debbie Georgiatis and Ladies Can We Talk. You know, this show is a little out of our normal sync tonight. We often, generally speaking, focus on national issues and occasionally delve into state law issues. But I really did want to spend some time tonight, and we had planned on hope to have on Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, and he was all set to come on and then had a family issue come up that he was not able to join us. But, you know, this is a this legislative cycle, this 84th legislature that was just ended in Texas, it had, you know, many earmarks of very, very positive, very successful session. It had a lot of conservative legislation pass in the Texas State Senate. Some of it, in a variety of ways, didn't get through the House, largely attributable to House leadership, which would just, for it, bills that the House leadership tends to be more moderate Republicans, didn't want to have passed, got sent those bills to committees where it got put as, you know, number 17 the last day of the legislative cycle, or just in ways procedurally blocked from coming to the floor, blocked from allowing the actual representatives that each and every one of us in Texas are entitled to vote for. Those folks actually didn't get to vote on the issues that matter. One issue that I was going to talk with Lieutenant Governor Patrick about, and he knows I care about a lot, is an issue called ALAC, A-L-A-C, American Law for American Courts. The short story in that was this very limited piece of legislation was introduced in the Texas Senate, essentially saying that any American citizen who's, and it was in fact, limited to family law, the family law arena. Any American citizen going through our courts is entitled to have American law only apply to their case, which may seem like unnecessary or redundant or silly. But the point of it is, in America, we have had the proliferation of Islamic tribunals, of individuals who are involved in a mosque or in an Islamic community in America, set up tribunals where they issue rulings or issue interpretations from Sharia, which is the Islamic law. And that is, they want to spread Sharia as the basis of law that it governs at least Muslims in America. And in other countries in Western Europe, the actual elected sovereign government of those countries is struggling, trying to figure out how to deal with these Islamic tribunals. And in America, the point of laws like ALAC, again, American Law for American Courts, which has passed in a number of other states, I think it's 11, whatever the number is, it's passed in other states, could not get it passed in Texas again this year. And this was the second time it's been up. And it's interesting, I raise this to say, as I said in the show, and I've said in my speeches around the country, every place I talk, I make the point, America is the leader of liberty in the world. It is, America has liberty, and that is why people from around the world who are repressed come to America. They love the beauty of the rule of law, an ordered society based on liberty, on individual freedom, and a rule of law, meaning everyone has the same rules applied to them. In America, no woman should have Sharia law apply to any aspect of her marriage or divorce. Sharia law treats women as second-class citizens. Women have secondary rights with respect to the divorce proceeding itself, property distribution, child custody, every issue you can think of. Sharia favors the man. And this is a problem. It's what other countries can do, but in America, American law must apply. And so if we couldn't get that passed in Texas, I want to point out, this is a signal to all of us to retriple our efforts to spread that concept and to spread support for that law, because we don't want America to become a place where there's some separate and clearly inferior set of laws and kind of set of paradigm shaping what society is all about, set of laws apply to any subset of America. America, in part, is successful because the rule of law applies to everyone. So I urge all of you, if you're listening, if you're paying attention to the Texas legislature, when they come on board next time in 2 years, there will be a bill introduced along the lines of ALAC, and I urge you to support it, because these are country-changing things when you surrender the rule of law and say there's some segment of women in the country who don't get the protection of that law. So I want to hit that point.
Last thing before you leave that. I just want to say, the blame for ALAC not passing and all these other legislative things that these other legislatures that were just on pointed to that didn't happen lays at the feet of one person.
Go ahead.
It is Texas Speaker Joe Strauss. He is the reason why it did not pass, because of his lieutenants that he puts in place and committees chairs that he puts in place, that he did not allow for it to pass and other conservative legislation. And I just want our listeners to know that the reason why Texas is not moving forward with incredibly strong conservative legislation that we want, it's due to Texas Speaker Joe Strauss.
And why we're telling you this is, almost every legislative cycle, conservatives are looking for someone to run a primary against Joe Strauss and or looking to replace him as Speaker of the House. And this is one bellwether litmus test issue.
Yep.
When you look at any elected Republican representative, did that person perpetuate the reign of Joe Strauss, or did they have the courage to stand up? And back to ALAC, one more second, and then, which is the other... The specifics of why ALAC did not get through this time was that two of the people who were actually original co-sponsors of the bill, one being Representative Debbie Riddle from District 150, other one being Representative Pat Harless of District 126.
Both. Where are these districts, Debbie, exactly?
I don't know. Actually, Riddle is Spring area along 145, okay, and District 126 is northwest of Houston. But, you know, I'll just say this. These are women who said they supported this concept and bailed out. Now, I don't know whether they bailed out with a deal with Strauss or what they did, but it matters that they bailed out on ALAC. It matters.
Can I say that, yes, I understand that Strauss is a bottleneck in the flow of representation, then there's something wrong, I think, with him as an individual. But I also think there's something wrong with the position he holds.
He shouldn't have that much power.
He should not have that much power.
It is an incredibly powerful position.
But it shouldn't be that powerful. One person should not be able to bottleneck up as an entire session full of bills that conservatives vote for.
That's why that ethics reform bill didn't pass because of Joe Strauss that we just talked about earlier. All of that.
But one position, not even the person, one position shouldn't have that much power.
Well, you know, this segues nicely into something I wanted to talk about. In Washington, there's a lot of talk right now about the retaliation by John Boehner, who is the Speaker of the U.S. House, U.S. Congress, the House. He is doing not on these same issues, but he's taking that, again, that kind of authority. Mm-hmm. Right now what's happened is because there were members of the Republican Leadership Committee who did not follow instructions from Boehner and leadership about how they were to vote on procedural issues. This all relates to the trade deal, which we're not going to go into tonight, but we will another time. I've been talking about the trade deal. I do these Fox radio interviews. I've been talking about like ad nauseum, but I will just say this. John Boehner does the same kind of thing. He's decided there were two people he just forced out of their leadership positions because they would not go along with the instructions from on high votes on procedural issues. And this is, again, a lot of power in one guy and another reason why he needs to go.
Okay. Just like Dan Patrick, his very first act as lieutenant governor was to go from 3/5 to 2/3 so that we needed just 19 senators versus 21. Mm-hmm. Just maybe that tactic, instead of trying to oust Strauss, as many of us have tried to, what if we came at it from a rules change so that the position itself is diluted? Because Bill Bennett made the same kind of tactical mistake when we had an opportunity to dissolve the Department of Education. He said, no, we can use it for good. But the thing is, you forget that down the road, it may not be a good person holding that much power.
You're exactly right. And I don't know what, I mean, these are wonderful thoughts to go forward with. You know, maybe you dilute the speakership so it's three people, it's a three-person tribunal or something. I don't know. But somebody, I mean, you can't have just mass chaos. You can't have, you know, 435 members of Congress showing up and just flinging bills around. There's got to be structure. There's got to be order.
Correct. But there should be a way for these bills not to get just buried in paper or buried in a committee and behind lock and key so it can't reach the floor. If the Senate, there's just got to be a way around
it. Well, it just shows the importance of us, people like us. And I don't mean us ladies, but I mean activists across Texas, across the nation, to stand up to these representatives, whether they be in the state house or whether they be in Washington, to say we have had enough. We get a candidate to run against them and we beat them. That's how you do it.
You know, I was going to say that is, I put it on the Facebook page for Ladies Can We Talk Too, just a couple hours ago, about the idea that when you see things like Boehner kicking people out of leadership because they didn't follow what he said, the only way to resolve that is to get more conservative people in the House via primaries so that eventually Boehner is out.
Correct. But then also part of the frustration of people like me is that sometimes even when you get somebody you think is conservative, they get to the position that they campaigned for and they change their mind.
It goes to their head. Well, you know, yeah, it is.
Then you take them out.
You want to say one more thing?
It's expensive and hard.
We actually want to in this, we only have one more segment left. We're at the end of this one already. But okay, I want to say this. We're going to go off to a break here in a moment, come back, and we're just going to talk about in this last 15 minutes the Donald Trump announcement running for president. Certainly, he got more ink than any other person whose announcement came out.
The Donald.
But I want to talk about, we all want to talk about kind of what it signifies. And then I would just make one last point about the Texas House and Senate. It's not like conservatives don't work to get officials in. In the state, great state of Texas, in the Texas State Senate, we have 20 Republicans, only 11 Democrats. In the House of Representatives, we have 98 Republicans, 52 Democrats, and still it's a battle to get conservative legislation through. Even though I like to say, God bless Dan Patrick and the state Senate. They worked really hard. Okay, Debbie Georges, Lori Magina, Carrie Kellerman, Ladies Can We Talk? Come on back after our break.
660 AM, The Answer, The Michael Medved Show.
There's a new book by a leading liberal about Richard Nixon, and he says that Hillary Clinton, for better or worse, reminds him a lot of Richard Milhouse Nixon. And last week at the Faith and Freedom Coalition, all the Republican presidential candidates showed up except for Donald Trump and Mike Huckabee. Well, we'll be talking to Mike Huckabee directly right here Monday on The Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show, afternoons at 5, right after The Sean Hannity Show at 2, 660 AM, The Answer.
My fellow Americans, liberty.
Liberty.
This is your Liberty Minute.
Liberty Minute.
With Debbie Georgiadis.
In May of 2015, Baltimore suffered its deadliest month in over four decades, 43 citizens gunned down, including women and children. The response from the American left is predictable. More gun control laws. Americans, you need to take notice, stand up, and stop this. Urban crime rates are going up. The left is demonizing the police and emboldening lawbreakers. So police are backing off from law enforcement. Gun control laws don't even remotely address this. They just make it harder for law-abiding citizens to buy guns for their own protection. But more important, the Second Amendment is critical to liberty. The right to keep and bear arms maintains a balance of power between the people and the government. It is the fundamental antidote to tyranny. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and this is your Liberty Minute on the Second Amendment.
Are you suffering with hearing loss? Are you sick of people constantly complaining that your TV is too loud? Are you tired of asking people to speak up? Would you like to hear more clearly, but you don't want to wear a hearing aid that makes you look old? Then you need to try Listen Clear, a life-changing breakthrough precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. And you can adjust Listen Clear to find the perfect way to hear everything, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And right now you can try Listen Clear absolutely risk-free with free shipping. We'll even give you free batteries for life. So call now. 1-800-507-2955. Listen Clear is lightweight and completely hassle-free, and it's practically invisible. Call for your 100% risk-free home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-507-2955. That's 1-800-507-2955. 1-800-507-2955.
Joe had huge problems with the IRS.
I knew it was coming. I hadn't filed taxes since 1990.
All the IRS letters coming in added up to a nightmare.
To get up to like $68,000, my heart started beating fast. It's like, there's no way, man. I mean, I ain't going to be able to do this.
Then they stopped his paycheck.
So that's when I started making phone calls and found U.S. Tax Shield.
U.S. Tax Shield went to work immediately.
They just took the bull by the horns. What blew my mind is he called the IRS right then and there.
So why is U.S. Tax Shield A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau? Joe knows.
They saved me a ridiculous amount of money.
If you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS or state, choose the company Joe chose, U.S. Tax Shield.
It was the best decision I made. U.S. Tax Shield is the way to go. Life is good. Thank you, Lord.
Call 800-454-8621.
U.S. Tax Shield. Hoorah. Yes.
800-454-8621. 800-454-8621.
We gave Tom 12 seconds to give six reasons why he opened a Mathnasium Learning Center franchise.
Okay. Great income potential. Doing good for kids. Doing what I love. Making math make sense to kids. 500 centers open already. One every 3 days. Mathnasium taught me the business. Helps me. Supports me.
Time's up. Pretty good. For franchise information, visit Mathnasium.com. Or take the first step right now. Call 855-361-MATH. That's 855-361-6284.
660 AM, The Answer. 660 AM,
TheAnswer.com. Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Okay, welcome back, Ladies Can We Talk. I'm so happy you've tuned in tonight, and I hope you enjoyed our tour, our quick tour through the Texas Legislature. We've been talking since the beginning of the show about wanting to talk about, in this last segment, the announcement by Donald Trump that he is running for president of the United States. If you missed it, you missed a humdinger of a speech. In fact, you can probably go listen to it. You can certainly go print it off online. We'll put a link up to it in Facebook. But it is really, it was a humdinger of a speech. You got to give him that. And I actually have a lot of strong thoughts about it. So I think I'm going to go last. Do one of you guys want to go first and tell what your thoughts about it?
I've been dying to talk about this. This last week on Facebook, I put up a picture side by side of Jeb Bush and Donald Trump, and I wrote, clowns are contenders. And I got a lot of really interesting comments on that Facebook posting. But you know what? I got to tell you, that announcement, you're right, it was a humdinger. And you know what was great about it? Is that it clearly wasn't crafted by some Washington political mm-hmm. consultant. It clearly came from Donald Trump's heart at the moment, you know, of what he was thinking at the moment. You know, it was in his heart, comes out his mouth kind of thing. But what I really liked about it was the fact that he had this certain American swagger. Mm. And I feel like that we have been missing out on that for so long. We've got a commander-in-chief that bows to the Saudis, mm-hmm. you know, that bows to these world leaders.
Apologizes.
Yep. Apology tour around the world, you mm-hmm. know. And we have not seen just a little bit of that swagger.
Yes, he had it.
And I think we need it. And, you know, not that I think that Donald is going to be the nominee. I don't think there's any possible way he's going to, mm-hmm. I think probably at some point he's going to drop out. I mean, he's so, you know, kind of unstable about the way he changes his mind about things. But for the time being, I think his voice is such a critical voice yep. in this time that we're in, because I feel like there's so many conservatives. They all have a different voice. They have a different group of voters that mm-hmm. they reach
yep.
That other candidates wouldn't reach. And I feel like he has such an important voice. And I think we need to be happy that he is in the mix, because let me tell yep. you, a lot of people reacted to him this week, and the people that didn't like him were the people that I don't like. So to me, yes. he was great.
Yeah. And to build on that, Lori, I agree with you 100%, but I will say this, a breath of fresh air. It reminds me in good ways of when Ross Perot entered the race back in 1992. But what I think Trump highlights, and the reaction to Trump entering the race highlights, is number one, a disgust with the Washington insiders.
Yep.
And the desire for an outsider. I think Ben Carson's also part of that desire for mm-hmm. someone from the outside. People can see, whether you're following politics closely or not, that Washington is dysfunctional. And if you're part of the problem, you can't be part of the solution. And so I think what Americans are wanting is someone from outside to come in and to fix it. And when you see someone like Donald Trump, who has his own money, mm-hmm. he's not beholden to mm-hmm. anyone. Mm-hmm. He can't be bought. Mm-hmm. He's putting his own money into the race. That is hugely refreshing.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of funny. You talk both. You were kind of finding his comments refreshing. When I started skimming it, I was actually sitting in my car waiting for somebody. I was skimming it on my phone, and I was thinking, wow, it was so much of what he said was followed by parenthesis, applause, close parenthesis. I mean, mm-hmm. the people to whom he was speaking, there was just a great deal of enthusiasm. And I think it is true that he's saying some things just kind of, you know, I mean, these are not his words, but more or less, we're negotiating to give Iran nuclear weapons, which mm-hmm. is what we're doing. Everyone knows is mm-hmm. what we're doing.
Yep.
We're saying we're negotiating mm-hmm. to stop it, and everyone knows we're negotiating to make it easier for them to get nuclear weapons, to make it part of a treaty. He talked about the release of the five prisoners out of Gitmo in mm-hmm. exchange for a traitor, mm-hmm. and he's saying things that people are saying, yes, someone's finally saying this.
Yep.
Yes, thank you. I think his presence in the race is going to cause other candidates to have to respond. I think the media yep. is going to start to say, so what about this Bo Berg doll? Is he really a traitor? And should we have release with other, mm-hmm. or what should we be saying about Iran? Is it okay that we're negotiating the way we are with Iran? And the trade deal, I mean, he was breath of fresh air-ish. I was trying to, while you two were talking, trying to race through the speech I have printed out and circle how many times he said stupid or stupidest. And actually, I ran out of ink. Not really, but I couldn't get through the whole speech. I mean, it's kind of refreshing. People are tired of the politely, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. couched words. Yep. But he's yep. a little bombastic. I mean, this is he ultimately won't be taken seriously. And my concern is he will get people fired up. And when he finally says, you know, I can't win this, I'm out, where are those fired up people going to go? Because I don't want them to go home.
You know what he reminds me of? Maybe he's not a lot, but his role in this point in time, at this point in our country, he's like the boy in the story of the emperor with no clothes that says, I don't see him having anything on at all.
Well, you bring up a good point, Debbie. The question is, and I agree, I don't think his candidacy is going to last to the very end. But you're right. It is incumbent upon these other conservative candidates that we have out there, and there's a bunch of them. You know, one in particular is my favorite, but I mean, there's a bunch of good ones, that they step in and that they get those voters, or those potential voters that Trump would have gotten. You know, I think it's a good thing. And I hope he just, you know, spews this bravado, you know, all over the other candidates, and that they take a hold of it. I mean,
it's,
you know,
a terrific contrast.
I love it.
It is a contrast. I will tell you, it's funny. I was reading it and I was saying to my husband, you know, how come so-and-so, other candidates I was mentioning, why isn't, you know, Governor Walker saying this? Why isn't it blah, blah, blah? My husband reminded me something really important to, and I will remind all of you in campaign cycles. Last election cycle, presidential cycle, when Romney was running, I kept saying to my husband, Eric, why doesn't he say this? He should say that. I never hear him say this. He should say that. And my husband would just listen to me ranting, and then he'd say, you need to go to his website. He actually said every single thing you just raised, he said last week in a speech. Go to his website. You can read the speeches. The point being, the media wasn't reporting it. The media wasn't reporting what Romney was saying. You'd have to dig to find it. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump is getting a lot of attention right now. And I agree with the inspirational part, but it doesn't mean the other candidates aren't necessarily addressing these issues. The media, I think, actually likes giving Trump attention. I'm talking about the mainstream media who deplores the American right. The media loves to give Trump attention because they think he's kind of a goofball, kind of a fool. And so they're not at all worried he's gonna get any serious clout out of all this. And so, you know what? We actually have time for exactly one comment. Go ahead. I'm sorry, we've run out of time. I mean, we're almost not out of time, but we got it. Go ahead.
I think the media is playing a smaller and smaller role as time goes by. I think socially, I just think that we're going around them. They're losing their credibility in rapid succession, and I just think that we need to step into the void of true reporting.
Well, they are facilitating the conservative message getting out. So if they think they're following a clown and promoting him, they're getting our message out.
All right. So this is, we're wrapping up Ladies Can We Talk. Thank you for tuning in for the last 2 hours. Again, I want to thank our sponsor, GC Works, which is a Dallas-based company performing research in advanced technology, delivering innovative approaches to the oil and gas industry. So thank you to GC Works. Thank you to our guests this week, State Senator Connie Burton, State Representative Stephanie Click and Matt Rinaldi. Thanks to my leading ladies, Carrie Kelman, Lori Medina. And this week, I thank you for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at Debbie Can We Talk, and come back every week, Sunday night, 6 to 8 p.m.
Thank you for listening to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis. To learn more or to contact us, go to ladiescanwetalk.org. And be sure to join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on 660 AM The Answer.
Bill Bennett doesn't get the point of elementary school graduations.
This is ridiculous with these graduations.
I think what happens there are a lot of schools that are just elementary schools and just middle schools and just for kindergarten. So when the kids leave, they leave the school. So maybe they feel as though they need to do something special for them.
I have an idea of doing something special. Teach them some stuff.
Bill Bennett's Morning in America. Weekday mornings at 5, right before the Mark Davis Show at 7 on 660 AM. The Answer.
Liberals and the media try to paint the Republicans as the party of no. But the way I see it, Republicans, or at least conservatives, are the party of yes. We say yes to families, to strong families. We say yes to educational choice for Americans of every income level. We say yes to life, to babies, and to moms. We say yes to legal immigration. Yes to responsible healthcare system that honors the doctor-patient relationship. We say yes to fiscal responsibility, to actually balancing the budget and living within our means. We say yes to keeping America strong and safe, to defending our country from enemies abroad, and by securing our borders at home. Every week on my show, I urge Americans to speak up for America and say what conservatives stand for. Because when we say that, the mainstream of America will be right with us. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and Ladies, Can We Talk?
Ask any of the members and mentors here at Lifestyles Unlimited, the real estate education and mentor group, and they will tell you. It's not how smart you are or how long and how hard you work. It's whether you're on the right map to begin with. Can what